Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. I just feel so blessed to be in this studio with Miss Tara and her peeps, as they are called, from Grace University. We have Dee, Adriana.
Hello.
Janelle.
Hey.
Catherine.
Hi.
And Tori.
Hello.
And myself, Sandy, Miss Tara. So this has been fun. It's always fun when they're here. So today we're going to find out, how are we going to help our brothers and sisters in Christ when they are in denial?
Yeah. You know, today's passage is in John 18.
I could have mentioned that too.
Yeah. That's okay. It's all good.
I was liking the peeps here.
That's right. We can love on the peeps. I love my peeps.
Marshmallow sugary goodness.
Yeah, they stopped at McDonald's and got their coffee before they came.
It's all gone now.
So sad.
Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody's going to have to bring them some more coffee.
But there's brownies for them.
Oh, yeah. So in John 18, we have Peter's denial. And last time we kind of went through how that came about. And we were talking on the break, and I want us to bring this back up. In the different translations, it's unclear as to whether or not Peter could get in. Some translations makes it sound like Peter couldn't get in. The commentators that I read made it appear as if Peter should have been with John and John had to go back to get him. We really don't know. Because it's different for each one, and I haven't studied the Greek, so I can't tell you what the literal Greek says. But in John 18, this is the passage we're covering. So we'll go over his denial, and then we're going to look at and ask, based on John's behavior, what do we need to do to help those that might be in a place where they're standing back, they're not following where they should, and they're in denial? So Peter was following Jesus and another disciple, and the disciple, an acquaintance of the high priest, so he went in with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter remained standing outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went and spoke to the girl who was as the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. The slave girl who was at the door said to Peter, "Aren't you one of those disciples of him too?" "I am not," he said. And so the slaves of the temple police had made a charcoal pit because it was cold, and he remained there standing to warm himself. While he was standing there warming himself, according to verse 25, it said, a group of them said, "Aren't you one of those disciples that were with him too?" And he denied, and he says, "I am not." Well, one of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" And again, Peter denied it. And immediately the rooster crowed. Okay, so here we have Peter off in the distance, not following. We talked about that last time. He's staying back, and he's not where he needs to be. And so how does John go about helping Peter? What does John do?
Comes back for him and gets him.
Okay, he comes back and gets him. And makes a way even.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Talks to the gatekeeper, the girl.
Like makes a way.
I like that.
With John the Baptist. Yeah.
But it's not.
It's not John the Baptist, but here we go again. Yeah. Makes a way. Somebody's right. Making a way.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this, not the last recording session, but the last time that we looked at a different passage, that, you know, the difference between sympathy and empathy is looking down into the hole and pitying someone, or getting down in the hole and bringing them back up. Mm. And, that's kind of John comes back and gets him and helps him to come back to where he needs to be.
That's so good. I've actually been walking that in another circumstance recently. Mm. The importance of being able to go and get in the pit. It's important. Okay, so when somebody is struggling and you can see that they're in denial, and you know, John knows. And what blows my mind, I'm just sitting there thinking, when I read this the other day, I was like, he denied in front of John.
Yeah. I was about to ask that question. Was John with him? Because it sounds like they were walking together. And especially your translation is a little different than mine. Mine doesn't say, "Are you his disciple too?" But that makes it sound like they saw John, knew John was a disciple, and said, "Are you one of them too?"
Right, right. And the commentators say that, yes, the girl recognizes that John's a disciple, and she's recognizing that Peter is as well. And so right there in front of John, which John and Andrew were the first two when John the Baptist said, you know, there's the Lamb of God, and they went and followed, and Andrew's who went and got Peter to follow and called, you know, and Jesus at that point called him Simon Peter, and that'll be important when we go to the next section, you remember that. And he has been with him from the very beginning, from the call, from the very beginning. And in front of John says, I am not. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, isn't it? What do we do when we have a brother or a sister that's in that place? What should we do? What do we need to say? How do we help them? What would you do?
I mean, you do exactly what you see John doing here, where he's like trying to bring this person back to Christ, and so that he's able to see Christ again, you know? Mm-hmm. Instead of just hanging back and kind of drifting away, he's like, hey, no, come on. I'll let you in. Come on, let's go.
Mm-hmm. You know, physically, this is a great representation symbolically.
And also, you know, earlier, I don't know which lesson we talked about it, was God or Jesus gave the command to love one another. So we need to do it through love.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, walk alongside of them, not ahead of them, not behind them, mm-hmm. alongside of them.
It's good.
Yeah, I think it's also important to note that, I mean, John and Peter are peers. You know, it's not like he's above him. Mm-hmm. And he's, I mean, I think John clearly sees that Peter is not thinking like he should. Mm-hmm. And when you're in denial, I mean, John leads by example. He goes in first. That's and great. Shows him, you know, I'm loving you. I'm going to follow Jesus. And John was the more timid person. So for Peter to see a timid person follow after Jesus amidst this time where he's arrested, I mean, leading by example is a huge act of love. Mm-hmm. I think that John is showing Peter.
Yeah.
Can you even imagine what John must have been going through at that time? Like, seeing the most passionate, outgoing disciple cower in fear. Hmm. And yet, at the same time, like, he doesn't even hesitate. He goes right in and is there with Jesus and is confident and bold and present when everything seems to be falling apart. I mean, that testament to his faith is incredible. But yeah, even in the midst of that, he doesn't forget his brother. Who, you know, he could just dismiss Peter at that point and be like, well, you faltered, you failed, you denied him, but I'm not concerned with you right now because I have to follow Jesus. He does follow Jesus, but he brings his brother alongside him and says, no, we're going to stick with this. We're going to bring him together. But at the same time, it's not John that brings restoration to Peter. He leads him in, but he leads him to Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the only one that can bring that back to Peter. In fact, mm-hmm. even when he's preparing him for his failure, but he's also preparing him for his redemption from that mm. failure. It's Jesus who brings it to him. All John does is point him back to Christ.
And that's so good.
That's back to that prepare the way.
Yeah. Mm. And going back to, and that firms up what Jesus' words were to Peter, when you return, mm-hmm. go strengthen. And I don't know, as you were saying that, I just kept thinking about after the passage of the new commandment and the denial, that's when Peter actually says, well, what about him? And he's referring to John. Like, well, what do you, if I'm going to die, what about him? And Jesus says, you know, don't worry about him. You need to take care of you. And I love that that's part of the dialogue. And now here it's that what about him one is the one that's come back to get him, which is, you know, uh-huh. taking care of his brother. It's beautiful. Jesus said to go back and strengthen. Mm-hmm. And many ways that we can do that. And today it's bringing scripture to somebody. I know that's what I'm constantly doing. My phone is my help. It's because I don't always have my Bible with me. And so I'm in circumstances and somebody will say something. I'm like, that reminds me of this. And they're like, where's that? I'm like, let's Google. And then I pull up and give the verse. And I will do that countless times in a day where I'm pulling up passages so that I can make sure it's the word I'm bringing them back to, because we know the word is Christ. And so that's one of the most simple things that we can do that I think we forget to mm-hmm. do today. Yeah. It's a great opportunity for us to lead into the reinstatement. And before we go into the reinstatement, I remembered one more thing. I wanted us to look at the progression of the denial. Okay, so you notice it's a girl at the gate, according to the John's order. Now, the other Gospels will do it in a different order. But John's order, it's the girl at the gate, and then it's a group of slaves at the fire pit, and then it is this cousin of, right? Of the person he had cut the ear off, relative of, my mind automatically goes to cousin, a relative of Malchus who he had cut the ear off. And so if you think of the progression, a girl at the gate, more of a stranger, the people in the crowd more apt to know. And then a guy that he cut, he's not going to forget, you cut his ear off. Mm-hmm. And so you see the progression of even the denial increases with each.
Well, and like, I mean, society, like a servant girl, you can't probably get any lower in society than a female and a servant. Like that's the lowest, and then slaves next lowest, and then, you know, he doesn't even pass the test in the lowest realm, and then it just keeps moving up, and he still doesn't pass even in those realms.
And at the same time, it's kind of almost, in a way, God is trying to show him mercy, and he's trying to be like, here, you have this opportunity to basically confess, and it's getting more and more pointed each time, and then finally it's like, well, here, I'll give you the sign that I promised you, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, as I was thinking about the denial and the progression, once I've done it once on a smaller scale, it gets easier on the next.
It's just like and the lying.
Right.
At the lying.
And so that slippery slope of just how easy and quick it is for us to just do the crash and burn.
Yeah.
And we don't even realize it's happening. It makes me think of that song, A Slow Fade, because it's just that little step, and then you take another step, and then you take another step, and all of a sudden you're like, how did I get here? And it wasn't that you jumped there. It was the small little steps in between that you took that get you in that place of danger.
We have to remember John is such a humble man, you know, because he always talks about, he doesn't put himself, John did it, or John, you know. And you were talking about leading by example. We have to come along beside of them, knowing that we also can do that same thing. We also can follow them. We're all flesh. We're all sinners. We're all, you know.
Yeah.
So that judgment has to be
the fade doesn't
out.
Necessarily just happen to those that are, you know, flawed and sinful. It happens to the best of us.
That's right.
Would somebody open up and read 1 Peter 5:2? Is that the verse you pulled up?
It's not, but it's
can you share the one you, I want you to share the one that you did.
Yeah, 1 Peter 4. I guess 16 is the verse I was looking at. Peter says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. And that section really talks about, you know, as a Christian, you know, when you're persecuted, when you're facing suffering, to rejoice and to not be ashamed, because, you know, we see that in that you're representing Christ. You know, and for Peter, who wrote this letter, you know, to have denied him, to have been afraid to be partnered with God, I'm not his disciple, that's not me, I don't know him. I mean, that shame he had, I think it's fascinating how he says that right here, dude, I've learned my lesson, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you have that identity with him. I think you approach suffering differently when you realize that I'm on God's team and God's one. I was literally there, I saw Christ rise again, you know? I mean, Peter's personal experience, I think this says a whole lot to his churches.
Yeah, I think that's a key thing. His personal experience he used for good to help others through that he sees going through the same experience.
Because when he turned back, he's bringing others along.
Right.
And we're still reaping from that today. Mm-hmm. I love it.
What was yours?
1 Peter 5:2. I think Catherine has it.
Yes, 1 Peter 1:2 says...
Peter 1:2. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 5:2.
We got this. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve.
Isn't that beautiful? Right, so he's called him out to go back and take care of people. And so that is what he's asking of us. And the fact that Peter's the one that's done that, the importance of shepherding our flock and knowing, you know, where our people are at. John knew, wait, Peter's not beside me, and we are walking in this shoulder to shoulder. So he went back to go get his brother. And knowing where each other are at, being able to discern spiritually when one of us is weak. There are times we're just going to be weak, where things happen.
Right.
You're tired, you've not eaten, circumstances. And so we have to be there to carry one another. And there's a beautiful thing that happens when we do that. And there's comfort when we have that. It's nice. And so I love the fact that he tells us to shepherd. I don't know where the verse is at, but it says that a shepherd has a crown. for his flock. Mm. You actually, as a shepherd, have a crown that's a specific crown that for being an overseer of a flock. And that's one of the things that we will actually give to Christ in the coming age. All right, I have another one I wanted us to read. 1 Corinthians 10:12, which fits in with what Sandy had said. So Bible drill, whoever gets it gets to read it.
10:12?
I'm writing it down.
1 Corinthians 10:12.
Got it.
Okay, Janelle. She's like, got it, I'm going to read
it. He said Bible
it.
Drill.
She's like, competition.
I haven't done sword drill since I was in high school. Okay, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall.
Mm. It's so easy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Way too easy.
So easy to say, not me. That's not going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. I would never do that.
Yeah.
I always get very concerned whenever I have to speak on something because I know that I'm going to fall really hard in that area. And right now I'm preparing a chapel on self-rule and self-reliance. And it's like, I think I'm being confronted daily with that in my heart, you know, as God's preparing for that chapel. And I'm not even speaking a lot. It's just I'm the one overseeing it. And so it's the test is going to come. And so the pride of saying it's not going to happen to me, Peter's pride and saying, well, Lord, I'm going to die for you. You know, it's easy for us to have that. And the commentators were talking about Peter was bold with the sword, but when it came to a servant girl,
a little fearful.
He was a coward.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also a good reminder that even those who seem like they're the strongest and the most on board, I mean, they even struggle sometimes, and we need to be there to help pick them up, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, what would we do if somebody that we, you know, our pastor or like the leader, spiritual leader in our lives, cowered before something? Would we have the courage then to stand up where they failed?
Well,
and to help them up.
Yeah,
to
help them.
Because they
give them hope and encouragement and strengthen them.
Love.
Yes. And not eat them. I think of Christianity, we can be like piranha.
Yes.
You know, we're
judgmental.
Like, they've sinned, so let's eat them alive kind of mentality. It's just really sad that mob mentality takes over us. Okay, so we have looked at Peter's Jesus' prediction of Peter's denial. We've looked at Peter's denial, and so we're gonna go and look at next time, we're going to examine Jesus' reinstatement because we've made the preparation of how we would minister to somebody who's in a struggle. So let's look and see how Jesus reinstates Peter next time. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we just thank you for your donations. God bless.